And it's great to see folks reading the Bible, young people reading the Bible. And we do have a Bible program. We have a hard copy that's handed out at Watch Night. We also have on the app, you can get the title, you can get the devotional. I am current today. I've read everything thus far through today. I also do a devotional each day and make sure that gets out on Facebook and so forth. How many of you are still reading through the Bible with us? Raise your hand. Oh, that is so awesome. I believe that will help us to grow. You know, re-Bible is revival. So we need to get in that King James Bible and let it get in our hearts. So that's why I'm preaching on what I'm preaching on tonight. It was part of our reading this week, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and you read that recently. And the background of that passage is that the nation of Judah, God's people, came under a terrible attack in the days of a godly leader named Jehoshaphat. And the attack came, according to verse 10 of 2 Chronicles 20. You can read that there in 2 Chronicles 20. I'll read it, in fact, tell you about the attack. It says in verse 10, "And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not." These countries were very mean to Israel. Nothing changed. It still goes on today. They were very mean to Israel. They wouldn't give them the opportunity to go through their land, even though they said they wouldn't drink any water, do anything, just give us opportunity. They had to go the long way around, and God said, you cannot invade them. Now, they're saying here in this passage that here, we didn't invade them. Now they're trying to destroy us. That's how they paid us back and take us out of the promised land, God, that you have given us. And so that is the background. Jehoshaphat is praying in verses 5 right on up through verse 13. He's praying about these things. And so the further the history that I'm talking about tonight on the nation Judah was preceded by the prayer request of God's people. And I want you to look at with me at verse 12 and 13, just to show you this isn't what we're preaching on, but this is a background. Verse 12 of 2 Chronicles 20, look what it says. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. And you know what? Our former pastor, Dr. Charles Ware, he used to say that when you go through troubling times in your life, in your family, in your church, in your nation, that is a time when God wants your faith to leap up and take hold of God. I was just talking to my youngest son, and he was telling me how everything's going so smooth for him and his practice and everything, and then he's involved in trying to buy a practice, and he's telling me about things that were going on in his life, and we were talking about how that makes our faith lay hold of God, and I prayed for him, and he appreciated that. And that is why God will let these things happen in your life. If you look at Jehoshaphat, he came in as king, and the Bible says these three countries attacked his smaller country of Judah, and he had to look to God. His faith had to lay hold of God. Sometimes when you think everything's going smooth, all sunshine makes desert. But when you have trouble and trial, God can strengthen your faith to take hold of God, and some of us need that. And so tonight we're going to look at the history of this enemy threat to the nation of Judah in 2 Chronicles, and we're going to look at verses 14 through 30, but I'm going to relate that history, and I've done this before, I'm going to relate that history to a potential timeline for what we're facing in America. And these verses, I believe, have providentially, by God, related to a timeline. 2015 relates to the year 2015 in America, and so forth and so on, right on up to our present and beyond. So I'd like you to look with me at the title of this message, God's Providential Timeline for Your Victories. God's Providential Timeline for Your Victories. I don't know about you, but I like to win. Amen? And we are winners through Jesus Christ. I can do all things, the Bible says, through Christ, which strengtheneth me. We are winners. Even when we seem like we're losers, we're still on the winning team. And so I want to look at God's providential timeline for your victories. And I want to look at first your perception for victories over your enemy. Your perception for victories. And let's look first of all at verse number 14 there. I'll read it. You follow. It says, then upon Yahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jehiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. Now keep in mind, they were praying for God to speak to them during this time. They needed to hear from God. I don't know about you, but I need to hear from God. Amen. We heard about the campers going out, hearing from God, making decisions. We need that today. Not only at camp, you need it in the morning on Monday morning when you read your Bible. You need it throughout the week. You need to make decisions for God. And that is what happened here. They were praying for God's direction, for God's leading, and they were looking to God. And here, a prophet of God, the Bible says the Holy Spirit came on this prophet and he preached the word of God to the king. Now, he received it by direct revelation. We, through the word of God, preach the prophetic word of God, and it meets people's needs. And so here we have that going on here. And this Israelite king was wise because he wanted to hear from a man of God preaching the word of God. You know, Jehoshaphat went with wicked Ahab to go to battle and join with him. He shouldn't have done that. But when Ahab, all these false prophets preaching, telling the fake compromising lies of the enemy, Jehoshaphat said, isn't there a prophet of the Lord here? I need to hear a preacher that can give me the word of God. And Ahab said, yeah, I got one guy here, but he always says bad things. I don't like to hear this guy. And so Micaiah came up and he gave the word of God, you know. And Jehoshaphat was a king that wanted the word of God. By the way, that is what we need today. Whatever job you have, whatever position you have, you need to get to church. You need to get to hear the word of God. And you need to get to hear a spirit-filled message where the word of God is preached, or you're not going to have victory over your enemies. You're not going to win over your enemies. And this is God's timeline for victories. And 2014, they heard from God and they heard the word of God. I thank God for churches in this country that are still preaching from the King James Bible. I thank God for churches like the church out in Kentucky that has the camp where we can send our young people and they can hear the word of God. And there are churches in this country that are standing for God. And you know, a number of years ago, we can go back to 2014, there were these churches preaching the word of God. And people, when they hear the word of God, they have the right perception of what we need to do. See, we need to have the right perception of what God wants us to do. The Bible says the natural man doesn't have the right perception. It's foolishness to him. And the word of God is foolishness. But if you're spiritual, you understand things and you have the right perception. And Jehoshaphat was a spiritual man, and he got God's perception on things, and you need to have that, you know. And I was thinking of my son. I was talking to him, and he was talking about how God dealt with him through a sermon this past week, and or a couple weeks ago. I'm not sure that date, but God dealt with him through a man of God preaching the Word of God, and dealt with his heart. And he said exactly what I was going through, Dad. He said that was what the sermon was all about. I said, I know something about that. As a pastor, that happens. Becky's here tonight. She was telling me the other day, she said, Pastor, I thought somebody was informing on me. I thought somebody was telling you what I'm doing during the week, and that you get up to preach and your sermon has my background in it. Well, you know, no, I didn't have anybody telling me that. Jonathan, good to see you tonight, right? Amen. I was praying for you today. And I'm saying that God knows what you need. God knows your name. He calls you by name. He knows you as an individual. And the Holy Spirit of God that's in the man of God preaching the Word of God, that same Holy Spirit is working in your life and to give you what perception you need to have about things. You need to have brainwashing going on. You need to have your mind washed out and cleansed. And so that's what we see in verse number 14. And then I want you to look at verse 15 that goes along with this perception for your victories that you need. Look at verse 15 of chapter 20. I'll read it. And he said, the man of God, hearken ye all Judah and all and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Now my son had some major things he's facing. He's buying a business and he's dealing with stuff. And he said, you know what, Dad? He said, whatever God leads, I know God's in control. And I'm trusting him with all my heart. And I want to follow his will for my life. So if he stops me from this, I'm ready to stop. I'm ready to redirect. You show me the way, you know. God wants you to have that perception. What does God want me to do? I'll tell you one thing he doesn't want you to do. Whatever you're facing, he doesn't want you to be afraid. He doesn't want you to be afraid. God's not giving you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Just the other day, I've been in the ministry here for 40, as pastor, I've been here for, it'll be finishing, I think, 46 years. I got to think about that. Really? I don't know. I got to think about it. But however long it is, he may be right, but however long it is, I still need not to be afraid. You know, I signed the Bible, Joshua 1:9, when people ask me, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. And he said, all of my life, all of your life, Joshua, not one man will be able to stand against you. God gave me that. When I first started here as pastor, I still need it. I still need it. And he said, don't be afraid to do what you need to do. You may have a perception under preaching, and you young people, you made decisions, great decisions. You heard great preaching, but not everybody's going to back that up. Not everybody's going to be for you in doing that. Don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of their faces. Don't be afraid that they don't support you in that. You need to realize what God showed you to do. He will bless you. He will be with you. And we need that perception to know what God needs us to do. And I want you to see something about not being afraid and the perception. One thing that will help you not to be afraid, look with me again at verse 15, the end of that verse. He said, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. Last phrase, watch this, for the battle is not yours, but God's. You know what? That really helps me right there. You know what? This church is not my church. It's God's. This ministry is not the youth ministry, not your ministry. It's God's. This building, Brother Joe, it's not yours, mine. It's God's. And lately, I've really needed this. These buses are not our buses, even though we bought them. their gods. And I appreciated Matt's testimony. That's one of the most amazing things that I can think about, because Brother Matt, you know, he's absolutely right. We buy the buses and Matt breaks them. And so we bought this bus, probably invested $8,000 in this bus, and I'm looking at it, and it's not my bus. It's not my bus. If it was my bus, I'm going to get mad at Matt. I didn't get mad at Matt. Not at all. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody, right, Becky? Becky was driving that day, and Brother Matt, you know, he came to lot, and we had that stinking leak on the bus, so he had to take that thing every time, you know, you had to put that fluid in there. He had to get the fluid. We had to buy radiator fluid, and we had mechanics look at it. Nobody really solved the problem. I'm so glad that bus and all the problems are not mine or yours. They're God's. And I just reminded the Lord of that. That's what the preacher said. That's part of the perception you need to have to get the victory. This is not my reputation. I remember a deacon said in the church years ago, you keep preaching like you're preaching, and your already damaged reputation will be destroyed. And I said, God, you know, remember that, Joe? Remember the deacon? You know who he was. He was a fellow student at Baptist Bible College. I had a great reputation up there. You know, I was student council guy. I was president of a dorm every year. You know, that's all destroyed now because you're preaching like you're preaching. Camper of the week, gone. Whatever Fugit says about you, gone. You're just crud. That's basically what he was saying. And I had to make a decision. You know what my decision was? My reputation is God's. He can give it. He can take it away. God, if my reputation is mine to hold on to, then I'm not going to be able to follow you. And anything you put above God, it'll keep you back. You need to see it's all in God's hands. And so I just took a match to my reputation and lit it up and offered it to the Lord and said, here's a burnt offering, Lord. I am giving it to you. And so the same thing with the buses there. And what Matt's testimony was amazing, because you know, when this all happened to them, when this all happened to them, look at verse 12. I like this in verse 12 of this chapter. Go back there. Oh, our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. That's what I felt about the bus. Bus is not mine. I certainly don't know how to fix it. I am not a mechanic. You know, my dad had all these tools and everything. I had to deal with them. I couldn't use them. I'm not a mechanic. It's above my pay grade. And even mechanics that looked at it, it's above their pay. But I did pray. I can pray. Amen? And I can pray in faith. And what did Jehoshaphat say? He said, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. You didn't know what to do, did you? He tried everything. And he said, I can't do it. I throw in the towel. I didn't know what to do. Then he's going to camp and I'm left with a bus. What am I going to do? Pray. Tell God we don't know what to do. Not get mad at Matt. But I thank God for Matt. Faithful man. We wouldn't have that bus ministry if it wasn't for Brother Matt. I thank God for Becky driving. You've been faithful, Becky. God's blessing you. You've been through some trials, but God's blessing your life. These things will count. And I'm not mad. This is God's. So I'm praying to God saying, I don't know what to do. And I don't know if this is the answer. Like we said, we don't want to count our chickens before they hatch, but at least it's something. And the interesting thing to me was Brother Matt did break the bus. Right? He left the cap off and all that stuff came up and all, it was a mess after that. Thank God we didn't have to tow it. It'd be $700-800 to tow the thing. But anyway, the bus had problems before Brother Matt did. Wouldn't this be something? It certainly would be like God. Brother Matt went and found a guy on his bus route, and he was helping a member of the church doing some work on the lawn, right, trying to help. It was something he was doing, a mercy ministry. When this happened, he found a guy on his bus route. He wasn't even in that area where his bus route is, but the guy was there. And this guy had a boss working with him, and that boss heard about bus, and he said, I want to help, I want to look at that bus. And then he called me, that guy's boss, and he said, where's the bus lot? I said, I don't even know where the bus lot is. I haven't even been down the bus lot yet. I couldn't get him. I said, call Matt back. I said, you get with Matt. He broke it. No, I didn't say that. I said, you call Matt. And so he got a hold of Matt, and he knew a guy that was a mechanic. And then Brother Matt just said it. The guy not only was a mechanic, but the guy had a lot just right next to our bus lot, just a few blocks away or whatever from our bus lot, very close. And the guy wanted to do it. And he said to me, you know, I'd like to look at the bus on Monday and then get it to the lot. I thought to myself, you know, how are you going to get it to the lot? You know, I got to get a driver. What do we got to do? Or maybe get Matt to get a driver. I got to get a driver. He goes, I got a CDL. He's got a lot and he's got a CDL. I'm like, Lord, something's happening here. We're getting something to happen. And then I said, hey, you know, we could use you again, maybe. He's like, I'd like that. I'm like, good night. We've been praying for a bus mechanic a lot. You know, there it is, right by the bus. I'm just saying, sometimes you get moving in the right direction, and God will guide you in your way as you go. But listen to me, you need the right perception for victory over your enemy. Have faith in God and realize the battle is not yours, but the battle is God's. And so here come these three enemies, Ammon, Moab, and Edom. Jehoshaphat doesn't have the means in himself to win the victory over these enemies. And I've said before, you know, we've been praying for America. How many of you praying for America? Keep praying. And I pray God judge the systems of evil over America. And there's three big enemies. One is the globalists. They're an elite group of people that run everything. They're international globalists like George Soros and these evil people we've talked about, and they're real. Bill Gates, you know, and these people. And then there's a shadow government. That is, you elect a government. We elected Trump, for instance, and guess who was running a shadow government about a block away from the White House? Obama under the globalists. He was being paid by the globalists. And then later, Biden, who was being run by Obama, who is being run by the globalists. Why do you think Obama gets so rich? You know, these guys pay him, they buy him, they pay him, they buy him off. And that's where our government's been like that for years. Our puppets are merely presidents, really, of the globalists, all the way Jimmy Carter and all these different ones. They're really puppets. And so we were praying for our country, saying, God, help us. We can't win over these enemies. But God began to give us a perception of what he wanted to do. And he said, the battle is not yours, but God's. And that was in 2015. Well, what happened in 2015? A man by the name of Donald Trump came down an elevator with his wife in New York City and said, I'm running for president. How many remember that? Yeah. How many remember some of these people on talk shows were laughing at that? Yeah. They laughed. They thought that was the funniest thing. He could never win. And Hillary, you know, the fix was in. Everybody was going to vote for Hillary. I mean, it was all set up that she was going to win this thing. But wait a minute. God said the battle is not yours, but the Lord's. Hey, the battle is way bigger than us. For America, for God to judge the systems of evil over America, it's so big, it's bigger than any individual. But listen, how big is your God? You see, what is your perception about how big God is? And this church may seem like a small church in the big configuration, but God hears the prayers of this church. And I want to say, number one, God's providential timeline for your victories, first, you got to have the right perception that comes through Spirit-filled insight, through preaching. Number two, secondly, your provision for victories over your enemy. Not only your perception, but listen, your provision for your victories. Look with me at verse 16 and 17 of chapter 20 of 2 Chronicles. I'll read it. It says, "Tomorrow," the prophet says, "go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel." Now, by the way, he said, "Tomorrow go ye down against them," 2016. By the way, can you think of something in the timeline of America that happened in 2016? Can one of the men tell me what happened? Shout it out, Brother Matt. President election of Donald John Trump. It happened. It was unexpected. It was exactly the opposite. In fact, you may remember we were praying for this. We were praying. We had the right perception. We were praying for God's provision of the right president, Donald Trump, not beholden to the globalists. And we prayed for that. And I don't know if you remember it, but remember, Hillary did not go to the Rust Belt, Michigan, Wisconsin, Ohio, and all of these states. That was the great blue wall, you know. She had it. She knew she had it. The fix was in. And I don't know if you remember, but the Green Party candidate, Jill, whatever her last name was, what is it? All right, see, he knows. And she wanted a recount. Why? Because she was working with Hillary. They had the thing rigged. Trump says it's rigged. He's right. It was rigged. They had it rigged for Hillary. And it was all done. And what Trump said Thursday night about the machines and all this fraud, it's huge in this country. And they had it rigged for her. But there was a guy that worked for Hillary. He went to those states and he told them how to beat the rigging. And I'm not going to go into it, but he did do that. And I remember talking about that, and guess what? She lost. And this Green Party candidate said, "We got to have a recount," because she couldn't believe it. And Hillary couldn't believe it. I don't know if she believes it today, if she accepts it, but I believe it because of God's provision. God will provide for you to get the victory over your enemies. And God had her get defeated. And I remember we were praying for that election. We were praying for God to bless, and God heard our prayer and answered our prayer. I believe, Brother Bob, I have this right. We were praying and fasting for that election. We had special prayer meetings and everything. And if I got the year right on this, and then I remember Donald Trump, was this 2016? He went to Grand Rapids, Michigan, and he had a big rally in Grand Rapids. That's where I'm from. I was born in Grand Rapids. Then he came to Scranton the same day, and he had a big rally. And you know what? My wife is from Florida. Well, we were claiming this for God. I was claiming Michigan for God, Florida for God, where my wife's from, Michigan where I'm from, and Pennsylvania where this ministry is. And when Trump came, we had the opportunity to go to his rally. We didn't do it. You know what we did? We went to church and prayed. We had a prayer meeting just like Jehoshaphat had. And we prayed. And guess what? He won Florida. He won Michigan. And he won Pennsylvania, and he became the president of the United States. I'm saying, here's God's providential timeline for victories in your life. You need the right perception to have victories. You need to have the right provision to have victories. And God gave us that provision. Now, is there a battle? Yeah. When Trump got in there, didn't all hell break loose? Didn't they try to impeach him? Is it how many times? Two times, was it, in his first term? 2016? Two times his first term? They tried to impeach him. And could they do it? No, they couldn't do it, because God had a provision for him to get in there. Is Trump perfect? No. Is he a saved man? I don't even think so. But he's God's man, anointed by God, I believe, to bring about blessing from God for our country in answer to prayer and give you an open door to keep going for God. Why? Because Hillary and the globalists and those people, their plan, listen to this, is by 2030 to bring in a one world government. To bring in what is going to happen during the Great Tribulation. Well, last I checked out, we're getting closer to 2030. But you know what? We prayed that God would delay that timeline. And I believe that God gave us a provision in Donald Trump to help us to delay that timeline. Because that throws a monkey wrench in. So our young people can have an open door to serve God. Our young people can go off and have homes and have marriages and have godly families and preach the gospel. That's what I wanted. That's what I prayed for. And give them that opportunity. And I believe that God gave us a provision. First, he gave us a perception. We had our head screwed on with the Word of God. Then he gave us a provision in Donald Trump. And he blessed with that and defeated Hillary and then defeated these attempts to get him impeached and out of office that way. They've tried to destroy him in all these different ways. And this was God's provision for our victory. And I want to look at a third thing here as far as God's providential timeline for your victories here in America. Third, probation for your victory over the enemies. What are you talking about, probation? I'm talking about testing. When God probates you, he tests you, and he tests your faith. And I want you to see that in the timeline here. Go to chapter 20, verse 20, and I'll read verse 20 and 21. It says, "And they arose early in the morning," speaking of the armies of Jehoshaphat, "and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, 'Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper.' And when he consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, 'Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever.'" Why are they praising the Lord? The battle is the Lord's. This army never had to fight. By the way, we had people said, "We're going to have to fight a civil war for America." I said, "I don't believe we're going to have to fight. I believe the battle is the Lord's. I believe we need to believe God." But what happened in this is 2020 and 21. What happened in 2020 in the timeline of America? That was the election that was stolen by Joe Biden. Remember that? And by the globalists, by the shadow government, Obama and those. It was stolen. Election fraud. Oh, yeah, there's no doubt about it. It was stolen. There's no way that guy could have got more votes than Obama, that guy Biden. But he did. They had to get more votes because Trump got more votes than anybody in history at that point. They stole it, you see. They tried to launch the China virus, which they started in North Carolina. Then they moved it to China because the Western globalists try to work in cahoots with China. I'm saying the battle got to be the Lord's because this is so wicked. It's so satanic. But I'm saying you need to have the right perception to know what God wants you to do. You need to get God's provision. And then thirdly, as we're saying here, you need to pass the test, the probation. Pass the test. You're being probated. Your faith is being probated. And I don't know if you remember this, but I said during the 2020 election the same thing Jehoshaphat said. Trump won. It's been stolen. Believe God. God's going to give it back to him. How many remember that? Yeah. Good. And we kept saying it. Believe God. And we prayed and we kept having prayer meetings after Biden won, quote unquote won. And we kept praying, "God, give it back to Trump. He's gonna," and I kept preaching, "He's gonna give it back. He's gonna give it back." The only thing I didn't understand is when. No man knoweth the day or the hour when Jesus comes back, right? I didn't know when, but I believe God by the perception and by the provision, but God was wanting us to pass the test of faith. And we were praying, and then there came a point when it went, days went into weeks, weeks went into months, and Biden was in there. And it was a sad day, but we kept praising God. And we kept saying, Trump is going to get in. Because we prayed to God, we're believing God to do it. It's like a mountain cast into the sea. Don't doubt in your heart. We quoted that verse. And guess what happened? Trump didn't get in. Biden stayed in. He just kept staying in and staying in. But I got to the point where I said, you know what? Let's just stop these prayer meetings. God's heard our prayers. Trump is going to get in. I just don't know when. And we did that in faith. And I want you to notice, in verse 22 and 23, you can relate that to 2022, 2023, as Biden's coming to the end of his four-year stolen term. It says in 2022, look at that, and when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, the Lord set ambushes against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were to come against Judah, and they were smitten. And look at this. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and to destroy them. And when they made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. You know what it says here? I want you to notice this phrase here. Verse 22, and when they began to sing and to praise the Lord set ambushments. And then verse 23, they started to, fight each other. You know, do you remember a major ambushment that happened just before the 2024 election to Biden? Do you know what it was? How many watched the presidential debate with Biden and Trump? How many thought Biden really looked like he was not home? The lights were on, but there was nobody at home there. It was like he wasn't there, and Trump was almost like, this is horrible, you know. It came out. They had the guy hyped up with drugs. He was Obama's puppet. But he just fell apart. He just fell apart. And that was like an ambushment from God. Well, when that happened, they had two camps. One camp said, go with Biden, you know, the Biden family and all that. And the other camp said, no, we got to get somebody else. And they got that crazy Kamala Harris. Cackling Kamala, you know. And I was like, what is this going on here? But they started to fight each other. And they had a disagreement, just like happened. The children of Ammon fought with the children of Moab, and they beat one another up. They fought Mount Seir, the Edomites, and then I believe they beat one another up here, and they destroyed one another. The point is that these three armies destroyed each other. Israel never had to fight them. Judah never had to fight them. They destroyed each other. And when we came to the 2024 election, God, I believe, blessed the fact that we passed the test of faith. We passed our probation to believe God. Just like the bus thing. I think when we have a trial, God's going to see, are you going to start criticizing people and blaming people? Are you going to start pointing fingers? Or are you going to praise God? You're going to trust God. God wants your heart. And we passed that test. And you say, well, how did God reward the faith? You know, when you have faith in God, God rewards your faith. Remember just before the 2024 election, I was asked to speak to the rally, the Trump rally. I was asked to pray. I was led. I didn't even know what was going on. I was led to meet the president personally. And he talked to me about winning the election personally. That was passing the probation. I'm saying tonight, even in your own life, in your church trials, God's got a providential plan for your victories. But you have to have the right perception. You have to get God's provision. Hopefully it's that bus mechanic for us. You have to get God's permission. You have to pass the probationary period to see if you're going to praise God and believe God. I used this illustration before from the Bible, but it's a great one. Acts 16, Paul and Silas, they're arrested, they're beaten, they're put into jail. Not only that, they're put into the hole, the darkest place in the jail. Not only that, they're put in stocks. That means their head was immobilized, their hands are immobilized. Not only are they in jail, not only are they in the hole, but they're now immobilized. They've been beaten, What did they do? They sang praises to God. And what did God do? God rewarded their faith. And that's what he wants for you, to get victory. That's what he wants for us. We need more believers, more churches that can get a hold of God and get victories by getting God's perception, by getting the right provision of God, by passing the test, the probation for your victories. And that is what happened. And then finally and lastly, I want to give you the last thing here for your victories and the timeline of victories here is your... Oh, not the last thing. For your power for victories over your enemies. Look with me at verse number 24 of chapter 20. Verse 24, I'll read it. You follow in your copy of God's Word. It says there, verse 24, and when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth and none escaped. I wonder if one of the men can tell me what significant event took place in the timeline of America in 2024. Any man know that? What significant event? All right, I'll go with Matt. What happened?
President Trump.
Presidential election. Donald Trump beat the demon rat, globalist, media candidate. That's the power of God. And I said it at the rally, make it too big to rig. And that's exactly what happened. It was too big to rig. The devil's been fighting Trump. Listen to me tonight. He's been... They've tried to kill him not once, not twice, but three times. They've tried to kill Trump. Now, I think of the two prophets, Elijah and Moses, when they come to fight the world government, and they fight a bigger guy than the globalist. They're going to fight the beast himself. And for 3.5 years, they're going to preach, and he's going to send everything against them to try to kill him. And the Bible says they won't kill him until God's done. And that'll be 3.5 years of ministry. Then they'll be able to kill Moses and kill Elijah. And then God will raise him from the dead, but they'll be able to kill him. You will not be able to kill Donald Trump until God's finished with the work that he's raised him up to do, to fight the global. So I'm saying to you tonight, because of God's power, these are the things that we've been given. You know, the same thing happened to George Washington. I don't know if you know the story, but he fought in the French and Indian Wars. He was a great warrior in the Revolutionary War. A great Indian fighter against Washington said that we shot at him everything we had. He had holes throughout his uniform. He said we could not kill him. The Great Spirit, he called him the Great Spirit, it's Almighty God, would not allow us to kill him. You know, Stonewall Jackson, how many have heard of Thomas Jackson, the great Southern general, and he stood like a stone wall in battle. And Jackson said, I am as safe on the battlefield as I would be at home in my bedroom. God is in control. And therefore, I'm just going to trust God. And I'm just saying that we need to recognize the power of God and to realize what the theme of camp was. I believe your verse at camp was, now unto him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to what? The power that worketh in us. The power of God's at work in us. Sometimes we feel weak, we feel powerless. That's just to release the power of God in your life. And so, do you want victories in the timeline of America? Get the right perception through the preaching of God's word. Secondly, get God's provision. Thirdly, pass the test. Pass your probation of faith and praise. Fourthly, recognize the power of God for victories. And I did have one more, and that is number five, your potential for victories over your enemies. I just want you to look at verse 25. I'll read it, and you follow along. I'll go right through verse 30. It says, and when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them an abundance, both riches with dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And there were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. And on the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Baraka, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of the place was called the Valley of Baraka. Remember, you used to babysit for a little baby named Baraka? And then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them, to go again to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps, it says, and trumpets unto the house of the Lord. And verse 29, and the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for God gave him rest roundabout. I believe we have potential. Have you been praying for three things? Number one, God judge the systems of evil over America. Number two, God send a revival that would bring about great soul winning. It would fill this house and have an impact on Scranton like we've never seen. Number three, revival, and God judge the systems of evil. And the last thing is prophecy to be fulfilled. Do you know Iran is wretched? They were the ones that had the IEDs that took the lives of the men where Joe's son was on the Bradley fighting vehicles. It's always been the Iranians. Jeremiah 49 says God's angry with Iran. Why? Because they're launching missiles and hurting people, and they're trying to build nuclear weapons to launch them to take out the great Satan. That's us, the United States, and Israel, the little Satan. By the way, I don't like J.D. Vance not supporting Israel more. I don't like him criticizing Israel like he does. I like Marco Rubio better than that. But I'm just saying tonight that, have you been praying for those things? I believe that it says here that there was such a victory that they took the spoils of the victory. Wouldn't it be great if God would fulfill Jeremiah 49 in Trump's administration? I don't have a word of God on it from the Bible, but I pray for it. I'm praying for it. You're free to pray for it. And can you imagine the spoils already? Japan is now buying oil from the United States. They're saying we can get oil from Alaska a lot quicker. We can get it. It takes about a month to get it from the Persian Gulf. We can get it from the United States, and we've got the oil. We got a lot of oil. You know, the globalists used to keep all that oil for themselves that they had, and the demon rat and the rhinos would work with them to keep our oil away from the American people. I'm just saying, thank God for the potential that we have right now. Stock market is at an all-time high. Venezuela, their oil is now under U.S. control, where it used to be working with Iran and China. By the way, can I say it? China is stealing our elections. They're at war with us. China. Trump knows this. Stock market's at an all-time high. They are dealing with the enemy and not backing down like Obama did. He paid millions and millions and millions of dollars on pallets to Iran. Thank God for our potential. The valley of Baraka means the valley of blessing. I believe we have a potential under God's man, Donald Trump, to have great wealth in this country. Great peace, because that's what they had. By 2030, they had peace and victory. I believe there's that potential. And I want to encourage you tonight to trust God for that. Serve God. And thank God you live in the greatest country on earth. You live in a country that's been blessed by God. And let us live up to our potential and pray forward our potential because of what God can do. Some people are all gloom and doom and they just don't see any hope. I'll tell you, a man like that, it was Samson's father. He was a guy by the name of Manoah. And God appeared to his wife and told his wife, "You're going to have a baby. He's going to be a great champion. He's going to be a superhero for God. He's going to deliver Israel. And this is how you're going to raise him. He's not to drink any alcohol or even any wine. He's to be a Nazarite," and so forth and so on. And she heard it all. Manoah said, "I want that angel to appear to me. I want to see the angel." So, yeah, the angel came again, and he said, "What am I supposed to do?" He said, "The same thing I already told your wife." Then the angel disappeared from the rock in a flame, and Manoah realized that was not just an angel. It was the angel of the Lord. It was God that appeared to him in the form of a man. And he was freaked out. And here's what he said. He said to his wife, we're gonna get killed. We're going to get killed. You know what? You need to see the potential. Why did God raise up Trump? Why has he saved him from 3 assassination attempts? If he loses the midterms, Bobby, in 2026, they will ruin him. They'll put him in jail. They'll destroy him. He's got a lot of enemies. But wait a minute. The battle is the Lord's. I could give you reasons why I believe that Republicans are not going to lose the midterms. I'm going to say I believe they're not going to lose the midterms, even though that is the norm for the party where the president's in power. They usually, in the second term, lose the midterm. That means you lose everything. I don't believe God's going to happen. Let that happen. You say, where do you get that from in the Bible? Manoah's wife. He said, we're going to get killed. We're going to be defeated. She said, hey, dummy. She didn't say dummy. Sir, Lord, small L, whatever. She said, why would this angel of the Lord appear to us? Why would he tell us how to raise this boy? If he were going to kill us, couldn't raise him. Why did God do all this for America? Why did God do all this for Scranton Revival Baptist Church? And why did God give us the bus ministry and the buses if he's just going to destroy it? Some people, they just have gloom and doom all the time, and it keeps you from living up to your potential. You've got something in your mind that just is negative. Right, Brother Jesse? And says, there's no future for you. There is a future. And it's great. And I'll just close with this. The Bible says of King David, David went on after Saul and all the stuff he put him through. David went on. And secondly, he grew great. And lastly, the Lord God was with him. I plan to go on. I plan to do great things for God and to have God be with us. I hope you'll join me tonight in living up to your potential, God's providential timeline for your victories. You need the right perception. God's provision that he has, and he always has it, whether it's a Samson or whatever it is. Your probation, he will test your faith and your praise. Your power from God that he will give you. And lastly, your potential for victories over your enemies. May God give you these things. Let's bow for prayer tonight. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We've been talking about